Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
Welcome to the Three Martini Lunch. In for Greg Corumbus, I am Brett Witterbull, joined by Jim Garrity from National Review. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Brett, good to be here.
It's good to have you here. I'm looking forward to this particular Three Martini Lunch, and let's just jump right in. I'm looking at a real good one here, Jim. Nancy Pelosi, Obamacare, a thing of beauty. What's going on?
It's not that surprising that Nancy Pelosi pops up in a martini. Usually she's a bad martini or a crazy martini. But in her most recent comments, she's calling Obamacare beautiful. And of all the adjectives you could use to describe this very complicated law that's ended up canceling lots of people's plans and lots of people seeing their premiums go up higher, and kind of seems like a good indicator of what kind of rhetoric we can expect to hear from the Democrats this fall. And one of the, you know, the Obamacare is a two-sided coin. And can you find some people who are liking the coverage they have that they bought through the exchange? Sure, you can find those people. And if those people really like it, then yeah, maybe they'll vote for the Democrats. The problem is you can find lots of people who are not happy with what they're getting, who aren't happy with having their plans canceled after the president assured them, you know, many times over that if they liked their plan, they could keep their plan. Lots of folks having higher premiums. Apparently, this fall, we can expect even another round of higher premiums. The whole point of this was to control costs, and the president was running around the country saying how much he was going to save the average family $2,500 a year on their health insurance premiums. So the more Nancy Pelosi runs around the country saying Obamacare is a beautiful thing, it is a beautiful thing for those of us on the right.
It sure is. And I imagine, Jim, by extension, it certainly complicates things for people like, say, Pryor out of Arkansas and other folks who are running as quickly as they can away from Obamacare.
Yeah, you think it would be an indicator that the Michelle Nunns of the world and the Allison Lundgren Grimes of the world, any Democrat running for a race in a red state, is having to just literally dodge the question, the yes or no question of, would you have voted for Obamacare? You put this question to them directly, they're always like, well, let's not talk about the past, let's talk about the future, and I want to fix it, I don't want to repeal, which is not, you know, that's not the question we asked you, ma'am. But so yeah, I mean, Nancy Pelosi being quite far from where her vulnerable red state Democrats are, it's not that surprising, but the fact that she's saying things so obliviously is got to be an ominous indicator for Democrats that they're always going to, every Democrat running for House is going to say, do you agree with Nancy Pelosi that Obamacare is a beautiful thing? And then we can watch the homina homina hominas emanate from the red state Democrats.
All right. Well, I am certainly already enjoying these martinis. This is a very good martini, and we certainly encourage Nancy Pelosi to keep it up. But this next one, it looks to me to be mired in regulation and loss of freedom, and it looks very expensive, and it's a bad martini, and it's coal regulation. What's going on here, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, here's so today, President Obama, in addition to making some announcements about Afghanistan, is announcing that the EPA will have new regulations to cut carbon pollution from the nation's 600 coal-fired power plants. Now, the part that jumped out at me is that, you know, the president has tried to pass his cap and trade and climate change bills, and he tried doing it back when the Democrats controlled the House and Senate, and he couldn't get the votes then. And it's obviously, since the Republicans control the House, it's been much tougher. So now he's basically saying, well, I have the executive authority under the 1970 Clean Air Act to issue this regulation. I don't have to go through Congress. This doesn't have to be approved by the legislative branch. I can just do this on my own. Now, if you're a skeptic of global warming, then you think this is absolute nonsense and this is a power grab. But even if you think climate change is real, and even if you really believe that we should be doing something to regulate these coal plants, which I think is not necessarily a clear indicator of it, since China is now producing more carbon than we are, and even if we cease to exist, China would make up the deficit within about 10 years. Even if you think we should be regulating coal plants, under the Constitution, the Congress is a co-equal branch of government, and the president can't just unilaterally decide to, you know, what a lot of coal industry experts are saying is going to either, drastically harm the coal industry or ultimately put the coal industry and coal-powered plants out of business altogether. Way back when in 2008, Joe Biden said no coal plants here in America. He did it while campaigning in West Virginia and Pennsylvania. How he managed to – they managed to carry Pennsylvania is beyond me in light of that. But here's the president basically saying, I don't need Congress to make these kinds of rules. And this answer is, Mr. President, you do. My guess is you'll see a long court fight over this. But we have a president who basically ignores the Constitution when it proves inconvenient to him. And that's a bad thing, no matter what your view is on climate change.
And again, mirroring the prior martini, the good martini, we do see Democrats getting jacked up in this regard. Specifically, again, you mentioned Alison Lundgren Grimes and the Obamacare question. Last I checked, Kentucky is also coal country, and that's going to certainly create a difficulty for her as well.
It will. Now, what you'll probably get is what you get from your usual red state Democrat. You're hearing from Landrieu on certain parts of health care. Oh, I'm so opposed to the administration. Oh, I'm opposing it. And of course, you know, they'll vote no, but they already have enough votes and things like that. You know, if you really want to stop, if you want to stop Democratic policies, you got to elect a Republican. That's just the way it is. You know, you can't, you know, talk about all those pro-life Democrats who voted for Obamacare and ask them how that deal worked out for them.
Paging Bart Stupak, man, are you right? That's yeah. That's 1,000% right. All right, well, we'll certainly get rid of that. We'll dump that one down the drain. That's not a that's a very bad martini. This one coming though looks a little crazy. It's got three letters on the side of the glass. CIA, Barack Obama and the administration revealing an asset. What's going on here, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of embarrassing moments for this administration, but this is going to rank right up there with the worst of them. So the president visited Afghanistan this Memorial Day weekend, and I salute the president for going out to see the troops. But he did a ceremony with a whole bunch of folks out there. And in the press statement of who was going to be at this ceremony, the White House, allegedly using a list that was cleared by the Department of Defense, listed the attendees, including our CIA station chief in Kabul. Now, thankfully, most news agencies have refrained from printing the name of this person to protect this person and their families. Obviously, there are a lot of Taliban and Al-Qaeda and bad people who'd like to target this person. But having said that, I'm wondering if RTTV, the Russian propaganda channel, is on the list. But and the thing is that in the listing of events, this person was listed as station chief. It wasn't even any other fake title that they were working under. So you look at that, I'm sitting there thinking, like, they think it's a Native American title? Are they thinking it's some sort of station wagon person they're in charge of? You know, what do you see the name station chief? What do you think that title signifies? So unbelievably dumb mistake. They're saying that this is a big embarrassment for our national security, but not catastrophic. When you're having to spin that it's not catastrophic, that's not the best. That's not that reassuring, really. Inexcusable mistake. This is the sort of circumstance that I'd really like to see somebody get fired. But, you know, once Shinseki gets to keep his job, you know, at that point, it's really unfair to fire anybody else at the White House, isn't it, Brett?
Listen, I'm waiting. They'll probably blame a video, some YouTube video that may have, you know, caused it.
Exactly. The YouTube video that distracted the White House staffer and put the name on the list or something.
Insane. Well, listen. All right. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. There are your three martinis. You've got a very good martini and Nancy Pelosi calling Obamacare a beautiful thing. You've got a very bad martini and Barack Obama yet again looking to cripple the coal industry and jack your energy rates. And finally, straight out of the crazy recipe book, the administration outs the CIA station chief in Kabul, Afghanistan, of all places. Well, Jim, I'm fully looking forward to what tomorrow will bring. It's going to be an amazing round of martini.
It will be good. It will be bad. And it will be crazy. And, you know, my closing thought on the last one is, with friends like these, who needs enemies?
Hey, there you go. Exactly right. Well, listen, Jim Garrity from National Review joining us here on the Three Martini Lunch. I'm Brett Winterbull in for Greg Corumbus. We'll join you again tomorrow for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.